of God. Acts 27, we'll start reading verse 21 today. And I'd like to start reading through verse number 31. Acts 27, 21. The Bible says, "And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, not of loose from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss." Paul's on a ship. He's in the middle of a storm. He's been held as a prisoner. They put him on this ship. Before they set sail, he gave them a word, but they didn't want to listen to what the man of God said. How many times in our life have we met disaster because we wouldn't apply the preaching of the Word of God? So he says in verse 22, he said, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat in the sea under colors, though they would not have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." You may be seated this morning. You know, if you'll let me throw this thing in neutral just a minute. The Lord has spoke to my heart. And I realize that when a preacher's been preaching a long time and he thinks that he don't need the Lord, then he's about to go out of business. There's something raised up bigger than me just now than this text. Turn 1 Samuel 9 this morning. I'm not too proud to change texts. I'd rather mind God and go home anything I know about this morning. Maybe I'll get to preach Acts 27 tonight. Who knows? This thing is just raised up in me. I was thinking about it before I got up to read this text. I said, "No, Lord, I'm prepared to preach this." And we've sung about the storms this morning, and Lord, this is a text on storms, but the Holy Ghost has told me to do something today, and I'm going to do it. And if I was an evangelist preaching in another church today, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. I wouldn't even question it. But it's hard for a pastor to preach on the text I'm fixing to have to preach on. I've used this thought in revival all summer long, and it seems like that God has honored this text more than any text that I've used all year in revival preaching. But I want you to notice something in 1 Samuel. I think we can relate to it this morning, and I'm going to ask Miss Sherry to come play shortly. I want to say a few words out of 1 Samuel 9. Matter of fact, it's become my favorite chapter this year. I preached in this in days gone by a little bit, but God, very seldom do I go to church and hold a revival that the Lord don't impress me to preach out of 1 Samuel 9. My wife went with me one week this year. I got on verse 2 as the girl broke and grabbed her pastor. Because in this text, it's the word lost. She grabbed her pastor, said, "I'm lost." Two more came and got saved that night. It wasn't the preacher, it's the Word of God. I was nearly up in Virginia 2 weeks ago. I was reading this same text. The Lord didn't even let me get through the second point. People just started piling to the altar. Brother Michael, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "I'm done with you now. You can be set down." So I sat down. I found out the Word of God is enough. The Word of God is everything this morning. The Word of God is not only important, but the Word of God must have priority. 1 Samuel 9, I'm going to share a little thought with you and be done. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. He's the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bacharath, the son of Aphiah. He's a Benjamite. He's a mighty man of power. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any other people. I had a thought about preaching this week. I never thought. I was reading that text, and I was reading that text in the congregation. I said this in my heart, Brother Mike. I said, "Lord, I've been preaching this passage all year, week after week, and I've not had a thought about this verse where the Bible said that Saul was none goodlier than he, for from his shoulders and upward he is higher than any other people." I said, "God, I wish you'd give me a thought about that." And the Holy Ghost firebranded my heart on this thought. He said, "Okay, here's your thought. We need some people in this day and hour that we can look up to. Can I tell you, people's watching you. People's watching me." And he was head and shoulders above every man. And if there's ever been a day and an hour when we need some examples in this whole world that we can look up to, it's this morning. Thank God for some people in the Bible we can look up to. Thank God there's people in our church that we can look up to. Thank God there's people in our families that you can look up to. But can I tell you, there was one that was greater than all. He was the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want somebody to look up to this morning, honey, cast your eyes toward the distant shore. For Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Not only is he a goodly person, he's a high person. So we find that the verse number 3, the ashes of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, arise and go seek the ashes." He passed through Mount Ephraim, passed through the land of Shalisha, and they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. When they were come to the land of Zuth, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." Now, verse 6, I want you to really pay special attention to this morning. And he said unto him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man. And all that he saith cometh surely to pass." You know why that all that he saith surely comes to pass from the man of God? If he's reading now the right kind of Bible, honey, it's all going to come to pass. Ain't you glad you got a man of God that's got the right kind of Bible this morning? Ain't you glad you got a man of God that's not a hireling, a man of God that still rear back and preach what thus saith the Word of God? He said, "I know
Behold, now there's in this city. Every city needs a man of God in it. And by the way, he said, now there's in this city. Let me tell you something. All preachers are not hirelings. All preachers are not little whipping boys. There's still some men of God around that's interested in the things of God. So he said, now there's in this city a man of God. How blessed the city was to have a man of God in it. Then he says, he can show us our way. Verse 7, then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread spent in our vessels, there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give the man of God to tell us our way. Look at verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went in the city where the man of God was. So here we have two on their journey. It gets very difficult. One has the thought of turning back, but the servant said, I know of a man of God in this city that can show us the way. And I want to say something this morning that is so very important. When he told him about the man of God in the city, look in verse 6. It's a big difference in this. Peradventure that he can show us our way. Brother Mike, Brother Adam, Ken Bowman, may we be the type, men of God, that show the people instead of just tell the people. You can tell your children all day long how to live, but you better be showing them how to live. There's a lot of men of God preaching. But I'm going to tell you this morning, we live in a day and hour when the man of God don't only need to tell the people, he needs to show the people. So Saul says, so this man of God, it's our custom that we bring the man of God something. And what can we bring the man of God? Because the bread's spent in our vessels. And the servant said this, and I look at that servant as the Holy Ghost this morning. The servant said, well, we have something at hand. I want to say something. Your man of God's not wanting your money this morning. But if you look around in an inventory, and as you let the Word of God speak to your heart, what can we bring to the man of God? That's a good Bible question, is it not? What can we bring to the man of God? These TV boys, they've got a whole lot of Baptist folks crossed and messed up because they are preaching for money. But it's still some people that's preaching because the call of God is big in their heart. What can you bring to your man of God this morning? I want to ask you something. Could you simply bring your prayers to the man of God? Do you pray for your man of God? Don't you realize that you need a man of God in your life? Could you pray for your man of God? What can we bring to the man of God? I want to ask you something today. Could you bring the man of God your heart? The man of God loves to be loved and appreciated, and he loves people that are able to work with. Let me ask you something. Could you bring your heart to the man of God? I know we're to give Jesus our heart to be saved. The man of God can't save us, but we can bring him our heart, our feelings, our compassion. Secondly, Could you bring the man of God not only your heart, could you bring the man of God your help? You know, sometimes you ought to holler, "Amen, preacher." You ever notice a little fast dog when he's just being trained as a puppy and he gets on a tree and he starts a barking and you holler, "Hey, stick him, get him." And that little dog, he'll go tearing the bark off the tree, ain't he nothing up the tree. Honey, let me tell you, you ought to holler, "Stick him, man of God, every chance you get. Give the man of God your half this morning. Say amen every now and then. Don't let it turn into Rainwater Funeral Home around here." The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
When the man of God's preaching right, how are you preaching right, man of God?
Amen. Yes.
Bring him your help. Bring him your heart. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your man of God, listen to me. This December, Christmas morning, I'm going to celebrate, if God lets me live, 25 years pastoring at Liberty Baptist Church. And you know, the greatest thing I found that people can bring the man of God is yourself to church. I preach for man after man after man. And you notice I didn't say woman after woman after woman. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. I'll be preaching on that tonight. Come on, get you some tonight. You wouldn't believe the people that are so discouraged. We live in a culture and a generation. Well, it's okay to miss the house of God. You know why you've been raised that way? But the Bible says to come to church. And I tell you where the generation dropped the ball. It's my generation. From 60 to 50 years old, they dropped the ball and taken their children to the house of God systematically. And mom and daddy, you raise your children, hit and miss the house of God, you're putting the example out that it's fine that my children hit or miss the house of God. And you can only get help at the house of God of what the house of God brings in our lives. I know all the time, I mean, it's not Roman candles and fireworks going off, but honey, there's consistent Bible preaching down at Liberty Baptist Church where you need to have your family under the doctrine of the Word of God. So what could you bring to your man of God? What have we? The bread spent in our vessels, and the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand." You see, we have, God has given us what we need to bring to the man of God. Could you bring your heart? Could you bring your help? I wonder, could you bring your hand? Sometimes it means a lot to a man of God. I appreciate that. You know, when I get home a lot of times and the devil's, when I leave here preaching, 97.5% of the time, the devil's got my mind so bombarded with discouragement, doubt, danger. But then I'll be eating lunch and I hear a text go off. I hear another text. "Preacher, that helped me today. Preacher, that was good today." I'm not asking for 400 texts this evening. But I'm saying sometimes you can lift your hand to help the man of God in the ministry. What could you bring to your man of God? Could you bring your heart? Miss Sharon, won't you come to the piano, please?